Hi, this is Paul Young and you're listening to Lee Williams.
With Paul Young.
Very nice to be here.
Good. Now, I've come to see you tonight, not as Paul Young as we know, the pop stuff and the R&B stuff you do, but Los Pacaminos.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, where I'm just part of the entity that is Los Pacaminos.
Yeah, because I've seen you before, and it's just a great, and one of my old friends, Mel, plays steel with you.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Melvin wasn't in at the very beginning. I think we'd been going about 5 years when we found Melvin, and it was a wonder. Because Jamie was searching for musicians to play with Dina Carter. She was supporting Jimmy Nail on a tour, and he had to find a steel player, and they'd only given him a shoestring budget, and he was going, how the hell am I going to find a steel player anywhere in the UK, let alone, you know, on a low budget? And so he had to look beyond the obvious first names. And then he came across Melvin, and he said, I've told him about the band, he's going to come and play along a bit. And from the first few notes that he played, we all just went, oh, it was wonderful.
I mean, the whole family, I mean, they're all great musicians. I mean, I used to manage Kevin, I'm not sure what relative he is to Melvin, but I used to manage him years ago with a country band, and, right. And then there was the Duffy Brothers, and just so many.
Yeah, there are, yeah. I've met his brother. I don't think I've ever met any of the others, but yeah, great players.
That's good. So what made you do this?
Rye Cooder. I was a big fan of Rye. And in the mid-70s, going on into the early 80s, he'd got his band and he'd gone from folk to electric, and he'd got this semi-picking style that was very interesting, and he'd got these great R&B vocalists. But then he drafted in three Mexican players, a drummer, a bajo sexto player, and Flaco Jimenez. And so you'd still got this R&B stuff that was my initial attraction, but underneath that there's this other stuff going on, and I thought, what is all that about, you know? So I did some research on Flaco, I bought some of his solo stuff and started getting into that. Then I found the Texas Tornadoes, kept going. Then I found Santiago Jimenez, which is his brother, and just going all on through. And then I started travelling south through Mexico and listening to mariachi, and then down to the Sinaloan big band music, you know, and all this. So it's a fascinating country for music, food, culture, everything. You know.
So you thought you'd get together with a bunch of guys and put your own together?
Yeah, I thought it was achievable in a short space of time, because I'd got no plans for this to last for any length of time. So I thought, this is a music that's achievable. It's kind of, it's Texas rock and roll infused with a sort of a Mexican flavour that's going on. So it's not like trying to start a mariachi band would take years of prep, you know, for us to be good enough. Whereas this is something we should be able to, with a minimal amount of rehearsal, get on the road. And it was just, I wanted to stop being the main man for a while and just be in a band again, which I always loved in the Q-Tips, you know, and I wanted to have that back. And to pick up a guitar again, to sing harmonies, which I can't do on my own as a solo singer, and fill a few gaps in music that I can't really do as a solo performer.
Well, it's been going quite a few years, because I see you're all over. There's always a list of dates where you're playing.
It's 25 years now. That's ridiculous.
Is it really?
Yes, it is, yeah. I mean, it took us 10 years to record an album because we were just having fun with it. And then the fans said, don't you think it's time you gave us something that we could buy and take home, you know? So we went in the studio, started making the first album. We got to the end of it. And also we had some guest players. Robbie McIntosh came in to play some guitar and stuff. And our other bass player, Dave Levy, came in and he said, I don't believe it, but you've managed to get that sense of fun on the record. And he said, I didn't think you'd be able to, you know, but it's there. I think it's because a lot of the lyrics of Tex-Mex music take a kind of not light-hearted view on some of the tragedies that happen in life, but a kind of a certain amount of resignation that it's going to happen again and again. And so that's the kind of humour in the lyrics, and sometimes they're quite poignant, but on the whole it's a very happy music, it's a very upbeat music, and I think now I've been in the business a long time, I want to do positive sounding stuff that makes me feel happy, you know. I don't want to cry my beer, I don't want to try and put the world to rights. I don't want to depress myself writing about depressing things. I want to do something that's going to make me feel good.
That's good. Which makes the audience feel good. It's a bit different tonight because this is a seated audience, really, here at the Concord Club in Eastleigh, because normally you're stand-up gigs.
Yeah, we love a stand-up gig. And when we first started moving into bigger venues, more and more of them were seated, and we were going, oh, that's not what we're all about. But actually, it didn't take us long to develop the show a little bit into a show that's better for a sit-down audience. We talk a lot more, you know. There's one member in the band who's tapping his foot all the time, Jamie and I are talking. I think that's how we get across to a sat-down audience. We explain what the songs are about a little bit more. You know, there's a lot of story songs in the songs that we do. And it's nice to be able to say, oh, this one's about a bank robbery that went wrong, and this one's about a guy who has a relationship breakdown and just wants to get as far away from it as possible. So he jumps a plane, goes off somewhere else, you know, and then straight away meets a woman in a bar. And so he's got thoughts of revenge on his mind, and she kind of stops him in his tracks and goes, I think this is not what you want, you know. So every song has a little story.
So are they covers, or are you writing your own stuff as well?
No, I'm talking about the ones that we write.
Yeah.
And so they've all got those elements to them. The songs that we cover, some of them are Tex-Mex songs anyway, but then others are songs that aren't Tex-Mex, but we've given them a Tex-Mex treatment. Hi, this is Paul Young, and you're listening to Lee Williams.
I met a girl who stole my heart in Texas. It's a story that I want you all to see. It'll hit you in the solar plexus, 'cause the truth and her were bitter enemies. I've seen off all those pretty girls come knocking at my door. I guess I thought I'd seen it all before. Is it true you come from Tennessee? Does your daddy read the Bible, say a prayer before you eat? Is there something you're not telling me? 'Cause I never thought a country girl could make a fool of me. My family through the ages,
yes, sir,
to the time that we fought Santa Anna's best. A story is written in the pages, that there's Texans and then there are the rest. And then in one sweet phrase that I still don't understand, it came along and ruined all my plans. Is it true you come from Tennessee? Does your dad read the Bible, say a prayer before you eat? Is there something you're not telling me? 'Cause I never thought a country girl could make a fool of me. All right, how do they play that music back there? Union was tragic when I took her home and asked her for a hand. When my dad disowned me, my mama did the same. He told me I had disgraced a family name. Is it true you come from Tennessee? Does your daddy read the Bible, say a prayer before you eat? Is there something you're not telling me? 'Cause I never thought a country girl death of me.
Do you find it difficult to fit in with your other schedules, things that you do in your other life?
It does go a bit haywire sometimes. What we try and do is keep the two managers, because I've got my solo manager and the Pacaminos manager, they need to keep in constant touch with each other. We had a couple of hairy moments when we first got a manager for this band, when they weren't in constant touch with each other, and I was double booked a couple of times. Okay. One of them I actually had to ask if I could do my section. It was in a package tour, so I had to plead to do my section early and then drive 35 miles to where the Pacaminos were playing. And
it could have been worse
and I had to drive through a rainstorm, and I got there halfway through the first half, so it worked. Literally going from one place in a suit, getting to the other one and putting a hat on and becoming a Pacamino. So it's quite strange that my first hit was wherever I lay my hat, you know. Like I say, that's only happened once. And then the others, we've managed to either move one show or the other. But now, because I'm getting very busy doing the solo stuff, so what we need to do is the manager's out of power and said we're going to have to split the year into sections because we can't keep... I mean, the last thing we did, I had a Paul Young tour that was going in and the only way we could do it was putting it just before the Pacaminos dates, and towards the end, I was leapfrogging a bit from Paul Young to Pacaminos. But then, sadly, my wife was really ill, so I had to postpone the first part of the tour, and she didn't last.
I'm sorry.
So I lost her in late January, and we had to move the early February dates to the end of April, to the beginning of April. So in the whole tour was leapfrogging between Paul Young shows, Pacamino shows, Paul Young shows, Pacamino shows. It was, I couldn't believe that I actually did it at my tender age.
And obviously with the Pacaminos, you don't do any of your hits.
No, I don't, no. In the very, very early days when pub landlords ignored our warnings and put my name at the top in big letters, and people just got angry, you know, and they blamed us. So in the end, we had to have a contract and put those restrictions in place so that we couldn't be accused of hoodwinking the public. You know? And in those early days, once that happened, we did try once or twice, and we did Wherever I Lay My Hat. But when you do it with an accordion, a pedal steel, it don't sound like the record.
No, that's right.
We don't carry drum machines. We don't carry synthesizers. It's all 100% real. You know.
That's great. So. You also, besides your solo tours, I saw on a billboard the other day, you're doing some stuff with the SAS band again.
I used to do a lot, but I'm only doing one show with them this year. I think if they're doing others, they would have fallen on the wrong days anyway, because my timetable is pretty full. Oh.
Which is just a great big session band of singers and musicians. I'm going to come and see it at Wayfest because I see Roger Taylor's playing drums and, you know, all those sort of people.
Yeah, we got Roger this time on this one. It doesn't always happen. Sometimes he comes and sometimes he doesn't. But I'm really pleased that he is because I've only met Roger a few times, but he's a very likeable guy.
Well, I think he lives near Farnham, so that's probably why.
That makes things easier. Yeah.
Great. So how long is this tour going on for?
Well, the Pacaminos tour never ends.
It never ends.
It's one of those things. They nearly always, with the type of venues that we play and the type of band that we are, it tends to fall on Thursdays, Fridays and Saturdays. So almost every weekend is full. Which makes it difficult to organise Paul Young shows around that, you know, which is why we've had to change things a little. But I'd say that this weekend is the first weekend off I've had since the beginning of February.
My goodness. So is there just the one album, or have you got more out?
The Pacaminos have got two studio albums with a live album in between. We're working on a second live album now, which we're just trying to get the last mixing days in. Once that's out the way, then I've got enough material for Paul Young album, so then I have to set around trying to pull back all the material in, because I was doing three tracks with one producer, three tracks with another musician, songs that I'd written with Drew and we demoed, but the demos are strong enough, you know, to sound like completed tracks. Some of them we'll be able to access and go back in and add to them and finish them off and make them sound more professional, i.e. the demos. Some of the other things, the backup hard drives were corrupted. Okay. But so it's just a case of, is it good enough to let it out as it is, or, you know, or what? And, but there's enough material there for a Paul Young album. And what's nice about it is I've struggled with what a Paul Young album is, because it's much easier to know what the Pax album is. We are a Tex-Mex band who've kind of drifted into Americana, because it's difficult to stay 100% authentic if you don't live in Texas, you know.
Yeah.
So, but it still has that root. Whereas for Paul Young, I dabbled in this and dabbled in that. You know, some of the stuff is R&B based, like Wherever I Lay My Hat. Come Back and Stay was like a rock song. So there's a lot of variation on all my albums. And I discovered when I put all this work that I've done together, where I say I only liked a track or two, but I didn't like the other two or three. But when I take all the tracks I like and put them together, it's a Paul Young album. It's got a lot of diversity. It's got some songs I've written. It's got some well-known songs I've covered and some obscure songs I've covered, which is what basically the first two or three albums were.
Great. Well, pick a couple of tracks from the current album of Pack of Venus.
I'll pick a song that we don't do live, which is why it'd be nice to play it on the radio, is Don't Make Me Wait, Senorita. And it's about a guy who's wooed this woman and tried to treat her right and spoiled her, and she's run off to LA to make movies, and not the kind of movies she thinks she's going to make.
Okay, sounds interesting. Paul Young, thank you so much.
Thank you. Hi, this is Paul Young, and you're listening to Lee Williams.
Singing this song, I've been talking to my burro friend about lots of things that he don't comprehend. I tell him that she is the world to me, the girl for me, my living end. I gave her everything that I possessed, but she just laughed at me and headed west. And so muchacho, I can't plainly see, you laugh at me, well, be my guest. Don't make me wait, senorita. Don't make me wait too long. I got my mule on the meter. I left him singing this song. You say you're tiring of the Texan kind. Those local yokels, they're all friends of mine. I'm there in LA, they will smile and say, have a nice day, and rob you blind. You got that movie making friend of yours, the one who's saying he can open doors. I know the kind of movie that he makes, no second takes and no applause. Don't make me wait, senorita. Don't make me wait too long. I got my mule on the meter. I left him singing this song. I took her out to dance the night away. I'm making eyes at her and then she say, don't think that just because you dance with me, you get to see my lingerie. I guess a man should know when he is beat, when he's got nothing and he's on the street. But when I see her as she passes by, I can't deny she sure is sweet. Don't make me wait, senorita. Don't make me wait too long. I got my mule on the meter. I left him singing this.